CliffCentral.com.
Okay, it's classic MKTO. CliffCentral.com, good morning. I hope your day is going very, very nicely. It's just after 7. Let me go to some messages for this morning. Lots of people sending us pictures and videos. In fact, here's something funny. Tracy sent me this. This is her snoring pug, Steve. You got to listen to this. Steve has had rhinoplasty. He's actually been for an operation. Listen to Steve. This is Steve snoring. That is a pug. Okay. That's amazing.
Oh, no.
All right, I love it. That's great. You know, people have to put up with a lot in their lives, but Tracy's thing is her animal snoring.
Looking pugs are so cute, I have to say.
Someone says they didn't enjoy the 8 movie. They said it was ass cheeks.
Oh.
So that's not very positive feedback from Sandile. Sandile did not enjoy it. Someone else did, though. Chris says he started watching 8. It freaked me the hell out. I bailed after 15 minutes.
Yep. Ooh. I'd have an opinion if I watched it, too.
Yeah.
Here's what's sadder, though. I stopped watching it, and then I quickly flipped over to the new Lion King as if, like, I just needed to rinse my eyes and my mind.
you were clearing the conscience, so put on, play the Lion King because you know that's safe.
Like, okay, come on, Rafiki, make me smile.
Except there are some sad scenes in the Lion King, too, Sia.
I know.
All right.
I'd rather be sad than freaked out, though.
Kucho says, hey, Gareth, how come you have never interviewed the EFF guys? You've interacted with many political figures, none of which includes the EFF. Well, that's not true. I mean, one of the reasons that I stopped working at the SABC was because they wouldn't allow me to interview Julius Malema in, what was it, 2013. And the 2014 elections were coming up. And it was one of the reasons I had a problem with management. And then he was my second guest on Cliff Central when we launched, and we had him back. I think we had him and Mbuyiseni back a couple of times after that. Floyd Shivambu was a guest on my TV show before, so I've interviewed pretty much all of them. Dalimpofu's been on a couple of times, and you know we've had lots of interactions with him. So I don't know which EFF people you want me to interview. Godrich Gardy maybe, but I don't know that we'd get very much out of him, frankly. But there we go. I mean, that's the whole EFF leadership that I've interacted with, so I'm not sure what you're talking about. Did Malema not spend a couple of R100,000 on his 30th birthday? Yes, he did, but he didn't have a fireplace in the pictures, so that's most important.
Oh, okay. But he closes down the club and so it's all and
yeah. Please talk about our Minister of Smoke's defense today in court. It's cuck funny. Huh?
Hmm?
Huh? Huh? No, I don't know. Maybe today's the day of the big court case with this. I haven't been following this. I know it's very important to smokers. And obviously, I hope that people are able to buy tobacco products from today. Because I don't see any reason why we shouldn't have tobacco products available to people. None.
I just still struggle to think that the government reckons we are not smoking.
Yeah, they think we're children and that because they've said you're not allowed, that we're not doing it. Obviously, a lot of these people either have children or they have children who lie to them.
And these are people who have addictions to nicotine and smoking. And it's not something recreational like, oh no, don't go to your local book club. Okay, sure. I won't go to my book club.
You can police that more effectively. You don't know what people are smoking behind closed doors. They're having Zolls. They're buying this cheap, nasty stuff from other parts of the country. You know what's going on, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised. Our president spoke to us on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, correct.
No, Wednesday. That afternoon.
It's all blurred. I don't know what day of the week today is, by the way. If you're asking for what day of the week, it's definitely not the question I can answer. Okay, yeah. What did he say again?
When our president spoke on Wednesday evening, I saw a clip of Malusi Gigaba, Minister Gigaba, on that afternoon. He, to me, is the only minister who has sort of been abiding by rules.
Malusi Gigaba, he's not in government anymore.
Well, yeah. Actually, they had the title of, they introduced him as the former ANC Youth League leader. I'm like, okay. That's all they can use. Yes,
absolutely.
He looked so disheveled.
Well, he's not on the government payroll anymore.
I think that the president saw him and said, actually, let's open up hair salons again. No, well, he looked bad.
Well, I don't think he's on the payroll anymore, which would explain why he looks so disheveled, because he can't suckle on the teat of taxpayers anymore. But I'm not surprised. So what was he saying, Malusi Gigaba? What does he have to say about anything?
To be quite honest, I wasn't even paying attention to what he was saying. I was just paying attention to his looks.
You were judging him.
And in your infamous words now, Gareth, he looked very unfortunate.
Shame.
I'm trying to find, I don't know if it will be clear over here.
A picture of him?
But his hair has grown out all over the place.
He looks like Halema Motlanthe.
He has all of these greys popping out now, even in his beard.
He looks like Halema.
He looks at least 17 years older than how he ordinarily appears to look.
Wow. Okay, well, there's something horrible to see if you didn't see that over the weekend. But I think it is today that they challenged that NCCC ruling about smoking. And if it is today, then you know who I'm supporting. Mm-hmm. And not because I'm a smoker, but because I believe people have the right to make their own minds up. I don't think things need to be more complicated than that.
Also, speaking of challenging, how quickly we forget. Remember that whole Shuggers Rock incident in KZN back in May?
Yeah, where the police pulled that child away from its parents or something like that, yeah.
Well, we may have forgotten, but at least AfriForum is on the case. So the civil rights organization has cried foul after the Guadalupe municipality refused to continue with a probe headed by the organization into the arrest of 11 of their residences by municipal peace officers back in May. So I actually didn't know that number of people who were arrested was that high.
That's a lot of people.
Right? We only saw, I think maximum two adults in that video, and one of them was being pulled by the officers, but at least AfriForum is still keeping an eye on that. So previously, back on the 10th of May, a handful of Shuggers Rock residents were arrested for being in breach of lockdown regulation. Right. This is after they visited the beach back on Mother's Day morning. And then soon after that, the video went viral. And Guadalupe municipality initially launched an internal investigation, and then subsequently they cleared the officers of wrongdoing. But AfriForum, actually under the leadership of Gernel, stepped in to represent some of the victims whom they claim were subject to unfair action by municipal officers. And then this past Friday, the AfriForum spokesperson said the Guadalupe municipality had, through its attorneys, vehemently refused to provide the investigation report, which cleared the officers. So based on that,
they didn't have an actual disciplinary. They just made it up.
Mm.
You know, it's like the SANDF forgave themselves for killing Collins Khoza. You saw that, right?
I did see
We're all upset about George Floyd in America, but then no one seems to be too bothered by the fact that our own defense force forgave themselves for killing Collins Khoza. Like, nothing to see here. Don't worry. Everybody move along. Not a big deal.
And I think what works in these people's favor, who are trying to shield things or trying not to have certain facts revealed, is the court of public opinion has a very short attention span.
Exactly. That's why we will forget. We've already forgotten how horrible lockdown was in those first few weeks. Remember stage five, where you couldn't leave your house unless you were going to the shops. And I mean, we didn't have to wear masks then, so in some ways it was better. But everybody was under curfew in level four. We remember that. But you really have to stretch your mind, because it's also been a couple of months. We're approaching, what, 90 days now?
Something like
that. Yeah, 90 days. They run a little countdown clock on most of the news networks.
I was going to say I'm going onto my father's WhatsApp profile because I kid you not.
He's keeping track?
He does.
Love it.
No, it's actually so sad. What was it? Doing.
Your dad is keeping
this
track.
This is what...
So what does he do now, Sia? Because now Abazalane can't come together.
Well, my dad has subjected...
What is Abazalane?
It's the congregation. Oh, sorry.
Okay. My dad has subjected...
What is it?
He subjected all of us to messages. You know, we have a family WhatsApp group, and very often we have a weekly report from him, an update of what is happening within the family.
Yes.
Yes. So as of yesterday, he was part of a dialogue, and it was a Zoom meeting, and I thought, I'm not gonna sit and watch this. I'm sorry. And then he's been sending us his own versions of sermons. And I mean,
Sia, you better hope he's not listening to the show this morning. You're gonna get a little lecture later.
Okay. Can I read some of it to you? Because this is really like,
right. Please do. Right. Please do.
Go for it.
Settle down. Children of the church.
If you think about it, sure, it is sweet, but I think it's also so desperate. It says, my heart pains when I call and no one answers. I try to give myself to you, but it seems not to be ready. Shut up, man.
Goodness, lost respect for your father here. Ubaba Sangwen is going to be very upset with you.
It's unbelievable.
Grandma, hold up yourself. My heart pains when I call and no one answers.
Yes, you know what? The drama that you have inherited, some of it comes from your father. You and he are two peas in the pod. And just wait, you will end up like your father.
Absolutely.
He says, I love you all and keep the fire going. Burning. I'm fire are you talking about?
Yes, Baba Sangwe.
Tell them, Pastor Sangwe.
What my parents unfortunately don't know is the siblings and I have a separate WhatsApp group very often where we dissect what has been posted in the big family WhatsApp group and go, what the heck is this guy on?
Yeah, well, you respect your father, Sia.
Okay, sure.
That we have to teach you this at your age. It's terrible, right, Mbulelo?
What a heartless...
Yeah, I know. Shocking.
...human being, Sia. Your father just wants to be loved and love you.
Yeah,
and now you're... I thought I was emotionally repressed. Yeah. Jeez.
See, you learn new things.
No, I don't think I'm emotionally repressed. I'm just pointing it out there that it's ridiculous.
Well, okay. There are a few things that we need to pay attention to in the messages this morning. Should we go to those?
Please. Okay.
All right, let me just get this, because there's a ton of stuff here. I haven't heard that song that you just played in years, Gareth. I realized the lyrics, I want to do you like Michael. Does he want to dress you up as a boy and masturbate to you?
Oh, no.
What a sicko. Who is this person? This is from Adriano, you dirty bastard. Hey, guys, I also watched 8 last night. The story was cool, but the acting wasn't, specifically the family, the little girl and her aunt and uncle. Eye-scratchingly awkward stuff. That's from Leighton. Okay, so everyone's a critic. We try to introduce you to something, Leighton, and what do? You start tearing it up. Alex says, my girlfriend's father is the head of the International Ice Swimming Association. He organizes the annual Freedom Swim, where members of the public swim from Robben Island to Cape Town. Ooh, you can have it. You can have it all. And a lot of people cannot believe that Mbulelo watched the Garth Brooks documentary. But talking country music, Mbulelo, I am not a fan. You've got to listen to Malcolm Gladwell's podcast in Revisionist History, the King of Tears episode. It's about why country makes people cry. It is a classic. I have listened to that. Have you heard it, Mbulelo?
I'm not really a Gladwell guy, but I'll give it a listen.
It's good. Yeah, that's from Robin. Not for me. And no, it's good advice. She makes a lot of sense there.
I'm not really into Malcolm Gladwell, but okay.
Okay. You have a philosophical problem with him? I'm digging now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to open up some cracks. All right.
Yeah. Look, Gladwell. Good for him. He's successful and he's done really well. I'm really happy for him.
Right. Oh, doesn't sound sincere.
Elon Musk's dad has had a baby with his 30-year-old stepdaughter. This is some Woody Allen stuff, right? Sun Yi. Just is this true or is this just gossip?
True.
Oh Jesus!
And it happened a year and a half ago.
Nobody knows about it.
Yeah, it came out. So I read the article this weekend. And I thought, no, this is impossible.
In Heisgenoot, where did you find such stuff? Huh? Where does this come from?
Yeah, but she was 30, by the way. And he was like in his 70s. And he had a baby.
Yeah, but this is his
own stepdaughter.
Okay, but explain. There's something going on here, right? This is pretty weird.
This is incestuous.
This is wild. And Musk says, well, the Elon.
Yeah.
Musk says that's what one of the reasons that the family's been torn apart when that happened.
Oh, really? Well, that'll do it. That'll do it. That'll really screw up your relationship with your own stepdaughter and her mother. And can you imagine?
Maybe it explains why Elon is this guy who just wants to hide at work.
Look, technically, it's not incestuous at all. Right.
No,
just be clear. Like it may be a bit weird for some of us to deal with, and I'm one of those people. I don't deal with this family relationship stuff where it's incestuous or even smacks of any kind of interfamilial relations of a sexual nature. I'm not comfortable with it. But I don't think I'm alone. I think there are lots of people who are. It's just it's not illegal. You know, there's no blood relationship between the dad and the stepdaughter.
Yes, but something doesn't have to be
illegal. No, I know. I have a problem with it, even though it's not illegal. I don't love it.
But also, depending on how long I think the daughter was in his life, I can't believe I'm justifying it like this.
No, she was gross. I think two.
Yeah,
I know. And he married the mom. The problem is the dynamic of power here, Gareth. A father figure, you know, it's so messy. It's so unsavory.
Yeah, totally. I don't like it.
Maybe this is why Elon is Elon, naming his baby off alien.
No, he's a pretty smart human being. I don't think anyone has a problem with him. And he doesn't seem to have grown up in any kind of weird situation with his dad. But it is bizarre. You remember when this happened with Woody Allen, right?
I do.
I still think it's the weirdest thing ever. And it doesn't, to me, seem like the healthiest way to have a mother, a father-daughter relationship, and turns into like lovers. It's just really upsets me.
And again, I think, man, just keep it in your pants, can't you?
Yeah, there's so many women in the world. What do you have to marry your stepdaughter for?
Yeah.
He married her.
Yeah, no, it's,
they're not married. They have a daughter, though.
Yeah, no, that happened.
Jesus.
It is outrageous.
You know, I think of a family friend who had to experience her parents' marital woes because the father cheated. And I'll never forget her telling us that it wasn't the cheating that bothered her mother, but it was how the father cheated. The father was just going tacky and cheating on with other parents in the school. And it's just like, of all the people that you could be having an affair with,
I've always said, there are definitely levels of betrayal, right?
Yeah. But the most upsetting thing, just from women that I've been exposed to, it's never the cheating. It's respect me enough to hide it better. That's all it is. It's very rarely the cheating itself. People are reasonable, you know.
Really?
It's when you're doing it in the open and now you're making me look like a damn fool.
Hmm. That might be part of it. I think it's deceit in general is the real problem. It's not the sex with another person part of it that
I'm with
upsets
you.
People. Anyway, Leanne's come back on. Did you go outside for a smoke or something? I think we've muted her.
No, I had to. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, loud and clear.
I had to go and draw money because my cleaner told me.
So you what? You during the show?
This
you,
morning she was making an impromptu visit.
Okay, so you got on your bicycle and you went down the road for some cash.
Yeah, and I thought I could join by my phone, but via my phone, but I had problems.
Well, look at you. But yes, you got back in time.
She's coming by at 7:30, a special trip.
Okay.
Yeah,
to
here
collect,
I am.
To collect some money.
Cash.
Yeah.
Cash. Are you cash sure this money. Is not a drug deal?
No, that's later.
Okay.
That's at 5.
Oh.
Well, Leanne, I don't know if you know more about this than we do, but apparently today might be the day that court case goes ahead with the smoking thing. Is it today? A lot of smokers are on the edge of their seats waiting for this.
Yeah, I'm really, really, really hoping. But, I mean, even if it is today, it's not like you're going to be able to buy cigarettes today.
No, it'll be like with liquor where there's a delayed reaction. And,
yeah, exactly.
And, of course, the court, then government may appeal it again, and who knows. If it isn't at constitutional court level, they always keep appealing, even though it's got nothing to do with constitutionality. That's what happens. Yeah. All right, we've got to talk about something else that's going on. Leanne's wedding tape, which Sia spoke about the other day, and we talked about her. She made a CD for her wedding of all her favorite songs. But this got Sia thinking, and he looked at some popular songs that are turning 20 in 2020. You want to be frightened about how old you are getting? Listen to these songs, and you'll know these songs, and it'll bother you that you're this old. Go ahead, Sia.
Here we go. Let's all feel a little older right now. Bye 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 by NSYNC is 20 years old.
Jesus. I remember that.
She
that was
Banged
a horrible
by
song.
Ricky Martin is yes. 20 years old.
Yes.
Destiny's Child released Say My Name 20 years ago.
Say my name.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men is 20 years old.
God. Wow. And people still play that at horrible weddings and things, right?
The next time it pops up at your company function, just realize that it's 20 plus years old now. The Real Slim Shady by Eminem is 20 years old.
Oh, my God.
Britney Spears released Oops, I Did It Again back in the year 2000. Gareth, you alluded to this on Friday. The Thong Song by Cisco.
Thong, yes.
Yep.
20 years
Shaggy
old,
It though. Wasn't Me is also 20 years old. Oof. Look, now to think about it, the year 2000 was actually a good year for some hits.
Yeah, but I'm really struggling to think about how this is 20 years ago. Jesus.
Mm-hmm. All the Small Things by Blink-182 is 20 years old. Uh-oh. No Doubt released Ex-Girlfriend 20 years ago. I used to think this song was actually older. But Bon Jovi, It's My Life, was released in 2000.
Man, it doesn't feel that long ago.
Linkin Park released In the End 20 years ago. And then Backstreet Boys also released Why Don't You Show Me the Shape of
Okay, but there's
the
hope,
heart.
Because you're telling us this, and you were what, 5'4"? How old were
I
you?
I was 5.
Yeah, you were 5 years old in 2000, so... If you still know these songs, that means they haven't aged all of them that badly.
No, I think, yeah, I can still bop to some of these. I'd play this without shame.
Really?
Look, NSYNC, I would play in the car and roll up the windows.
Yeah, I wouldn't play NSYNC ever. Not that Bye 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 song. That's a stupid song.
But I think you can play the Real Slim Shady and you still have some cool points there.
Yeah. Well, it's because he was, you know, he continues to be an impressive rapper and musician, but
no, he does not.
You don't.
When
so?
He got off the drugs, things took a very, very.
You think he was better awful. On the drugs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The first three albums were out of this world.
Fair point.
Out
there are a lot of bands.
World.
I mean, some people say that the Beatles' best work was when they were high as a kite in India and doing all the drugs.
But I can't blame them because what happens then? Is you take the money and then you need to make music for commercial consumption, which is cool. Artists must get their money, but it's not for me.
So what are you saying? Are you saying that it's good to have commercial success and take the drugs, or
no?
Is your creativity linked to your commercial success?
No, once you go commercial, you're dead to me. But I'm also not going to say you're not allowed to do that.
All right, I get it. You're a purist.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a douchebag who thinks they know anything.
Oh, like, oh
no, we knew that a lot of people had decided that about you already.
Oh, was that rhetorical? Oh, sorry.
Wow.
Sorry. That's how it goes.
Self-deprecating.
I was trying to control the narrative.
Yeah, that's never a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's not.
Doesn't work so well. All right, so listen, there's also a couple of stories Leanne has for us this morning. Do you want to get into British police and that stabbing situation in Reading, if anyone knows about that? Do you want to tell us what's going on there, Leanne? Hello, Leanne Moll. Testing.
Jeez, how does she know?
Is she muted again?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was muted.
Oh, my God.
But there wasn't an echo.
You know, Leanne, you have one button to press. I have 17,000.
No, in all honesty, Bolelo muted me because there was an echo.
Okay.
Leanne, please take a little, like, note paper thingamabobby and just write unmute and stick it on your laptop.
Yeah. Mbulelo muted me. It wasn't my fault.
But you can see whether you're on or not in the bottom there.
I know, but I wanted to see if he was going to unmute me first. So, yes.
Sorry.
Tell us the story.
There was a terrorism incident in Reading in England
mm-hmm.
on Saturday.
All right.
Where a guy was in a park. There were like controlled social distancing groups of families and friends getting together in this park, just sitting around. And he, this 25-year-old guy, started running around and randomly stabbing someone.
Can you imagine anything more frightening than that? You're busy chilling with your friends in the park and suddenly some lunatic starts running around with a knife, stabbing random people. Good Lord.
Yeah, it was horrible. There was
what
a person.
The hell is going on in the background there? Someone smashing fruit?
That's not Ryan. Me.
Oh.
But we'll get him on in a bit.
Sounds like someone is beating something up with a stick.
Right.
All right.
So, yeah,
on.
this guy ran out into the park and he stabbed several people. I think there have been three deaths so far. He wounded a number of people, some severely in the neck, under the arms.
Under the arms? What a horrible place to be stabbed.
Yeah, no, it was just crazy. And all of a sudden, police helicopters were descending, etc. It's been labeled a terrorist issue, a terrorist motive behind this. Mm-hmm. And they haven't released the suspect's name. Insofar as the story that I have in front of me, I don't see his name.
What a story.
As of 6 hours ago, we now know his name, but
okay,
I'm going to butcher it, so I don't know if I should even
try. You can butcher his name. He's butchered people. So
yeah, exactly.
Bad joke.
Go on, butcher his name. It's the least you can do.
Khairi mm-hmm. Sadallah.
Oh, so, I wonder if that's Islamic. Of course, we're not going to profile anyone, but I wonder.
Khairi, K-H-A-I-R-I,
right. Sure.
And then Sadallah, S-A-A-D-A-L-L-A-H. He's 25 years old, and the most recent update that I have is the fact that MI5 have known of this guy for a while now.
And they weren't watching him?
Well, he's originally from Libya and came to the UK, and that was when MI5 first got wind of him back in 2019.
Yeah.
And they said they've sort of kept different tabs on him, and they've been tracking things like his social media, but no case file has been opened just as of yet, which would have made him a target for further investigation.
You know, I don't understand if they know that there are people who are dodgy like this, why they don't just keep a constant eye on them. I mean, it seems to me like that's what police are for.
Well, I think what they're justifying is the fact that there was no reason beforehand to officially infringe on his rights, as unpopular as that may be right now, and keep eyes on him.
How insane you have to be to run into a park and just randomly start stabbing people. The level of crazy that you have to be. And of course, this does all the those people who are multiculturalists, and I mean, I'm, you know, I'm sympathetic to that stuff, but this has to really damage your point of view and your position on these things when this guy's surname is like Allah. Really? Doesn't help.
Sadallah.
Sadallah.
Yeah. Now, as of this incident, MI5 have said that, yeah, they'll carry on tracking his social media. They'll also troll every call and text message going back years that he's received. They can look for his contacts and also pin some people to this as well. They say that their intelligence officers will also review both their open and closed case file on so-called subjects of interest. And also a picture will emerge of the suspect's movement and what possibly led to the attack.
So have people died?
Yeah, three people were killed and there have been multiple injuries.
Ugh.
One of them was a school teacher.
Jesus. All right, listen, we've got lots of interesting stuff to talk to Ryan about. But before we get to that, good morning, guys. This is a message today. It's mostly about Mbulilehi Ohoyeyo.
Now it sounds Hawaiian.
No, this is from Yonda. Yonda says, now Mbulilehiohoyo is up his ass again. If he feels Eminem has lost it lyrically, then he's lost a part of his brain that can hear good lyrics. Yeah, the only thing that has changed in is his beats with Dr. Dre.
And that was 90% of the deal. Let's be very clear. Please, it's not like it was KRS-One lyrically or so anything. Please.
I love the way you're arguing with Yonder who can't reply. I love it.
He's coming from Yonder.
Steve says, Leanne, please fix your shit.
That's never going to happen, Steve, in a million years.
Yazzie, Leanne doesn't give a shit about you guys. Like, she's forever offline doing her own things. Imagine her as the speaker in Parliament. Just leaves those clowns sleeping there and goes for a smoke break. That's excellent. Yeah, that's exactly.
Leanne is running like her own crocheting circle between 6 and 8 in the morning. I'm telling you.
And then a bit of feedback for you, Sia. This is some fatherly feedback from Nikki. She says, at least your dad tries. My dad made me watch the banned movie The Exorcist and others like Halloween when I was 8 years old. I'm not sure what he was trying to teach me, but I've never slept at night without a fear of evil spirits. I'm now in my 40s and I still hate horror movies. Happy fucking Father's Day, she says. Nikki's traumatized. All right.
Oh, Nikki, shame.
Let's turn our attention to... There's a different kind of horror going on, and it is the horror that this Ryan Strumroot, who we've spoken to a few times, I do not understand you, my friend. I really don't. You take lockdown, and we're all indoors in our sweatpants. Now, Ryan is bracing to break a world record, and if you think you're an underachiever, he's about to spoil your day even more.
Thanks for that. Morning, guys.
True. You are going to, well, you recently completed your 109th crossing from Robben Island to Bloberg Beach.
Mm-hmm.
When did you do that?
That was done on Wednesday, Gareth, last Wednesday.
Oh, man. And the temperature of the water?
Water temperature was a relative toasty 14 degrees Celsius. But the air temperature on that day, when I arrived there, was 9.5. Which makes it very hard to get into your Speedo and walk into the water. And coming out of lockdown was quite an eye-opener. You know, I've forgotten all the pain.
So were you training during lockdown? Was there anything you could do to keep fit? Because this is a problem. Like, you couldn't go out to public swimming pools or to go and swim in the ocean. You've been arrested.
Yeah, no, totally. So that was part of the challenge. So it was 10 weeks of pretty much zero training. And, you know, I did my 108th, which was the record equalizer just before lockdown. So I was hankering to get the 109 done. And then we all got locked down and I got nice and unfit in those 10 weeks. And of course, all the advice in the world is don't come out of lockdown and jump into the ocean and try to rob an island swim. But I knew I'd have plenty muscle memory and all of that. But I tell you, it actually hurt. You know, about 3 Ks into that swim, I was questioning my wisdom big time.
No, but this is, you see, I want people to understand that even though I keep calling you a lunatic, that there is some kind of And it is a discipline, and I admire it hugely. But there's some competitive edge to you, even if it's just you competing with yourself, that I just wish more of us had. I certainly don't. There are some areas I have it. But in terms of physical strength, I mean, how old are you now?
I'm 46.
Now, you see, I have such admiration for that. You're 46. You're in better physical shape than people half your age. You are
yes.
You really eat the right things. You try to keep yourself in great cardio shape, which is a hard thing to do. And during this lockdown, it must have broken your heart that you couldn't go out there and do this.
Yeah. Listen, it was really tough. I must confess, I was locked down on a farm for a little bit, so I still had some space to run, and not that I'm a runner by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I could still get the heart rate up. But Gareth, for me, it is about the discipline. I'm not a hugely competitive person, but I push myself.
Yeah.
And I'm I learned long ago. I only started becoming sporty, if you want to call me that, in my 30s.
Right.
So before that, I was a proper couch potato and loving the remote control. So, and by, I won't get into all the details, but by hook or crook, I ended up getting into swimming very slowly just for fitness, and eventually took on the first Robben Island challenge, which, you know, in my mind was absolutely reserved for the super elite and those sports heroes that you read about in the newspaper, not for me. And somehow I ended up, attempting it, and it kind of sent me on this journey, a proper journey of, you know, where else am I selling myself short? What else can I do that I thought only people better than me can do? And not just in sport, in all areas. And then slowly but surely, you start to realize just how brutal that cold water is and just how heavily it impacts your body and more importantly, your mind.
Oh, yeah.
We've evolved for a million years as humans. We have not evolved well to handle cold. We've evolved well to avoid it. So when you put yourself in those circumstances, you know, the mind and the body reacts very violently to get you out. And your mind is a powerful tool, and it's very convincing. And because it is part of you, it's hard not to believe that you're going to be dead within seconds or minutes or whatever it's trying to tell you. But what I figured out by repeated exposure and stuff I've done all around the world now is that where your very powerful defense mechanism tells you the end is not the end. There's a hell of a lot of margin on the other side.
When you break through that,
I'm
getting feedback.
Hello? Yeah, I'm here.
I'm hearing myself twice now. It's very annoying.
Okay. I can't hear you.
Something changed. Okay, well, let me get this out quickly. How do you break through that barrier, though? How do you get to the point where, okay, now I'm through it, and just before that, before you give up, which is what most of us would do, how do you power through mentally? That's the thing that makes you more interesting than me, is that you can get through that. I can't, you know, that there are people who do these cold showers every morning. I'm sure you're one of them, right?
Actually not.
You're not. Okay. Well,
I can't stand that.
Like Ben used to do this, and I know that a couple of other friends of mine who do these early morning showers apparently boosts your immune system. And if I got into a cold shower in the morning, I'd be grumpy all day, and I would hate every second of it. Yeah. I don't understand how people do it. You've got to explain to me what you do to break through that barrier mentally. Do you have a calmness, a stillness? Do you have some kind of mantra that you say to yourself? What is it you do?
It's an interesting question because, you know, first, as I said, I'm also not a cold showerer. You know, a lot of people say to me, you know, I always get this, it's really cold outside today, Ryan, you must be loving it. I'm like, no, I hate the cold. It's as challenging and horrible to me. I don't like being cold, but I understand how it challenges me. And I understand the lessons that I've learned, and now I stand on stages around the world preaching these lessons. So the more I do it, the more I learn. And, you know, Gareth, I don't have a neatly packaged answer for that very good question, by the way. But so many people who don't understand this ask me.
Why would I want to come and listen to you talk then? Come on.
why would you want to listen to me talk?
No, on this, because this is the secret that I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to distill this thing about you that makes you so bloody much – it's so interesting to me.
Well, okay, so first and foremost, I am no different to anybody, certainly not you and anybody else. I'm an absolute regular average Joe. However, I have gotten off the couch and I have tried stuff and I've learned, I've looked it in the eye just how powerful the human mind is, and I've understood that how we are governed by this defense mechanism, which it's our brains are designed to keep us safe, to keep you inside comfort.
Yeah.
I know that whole comfort zone thing gets boring, but I explain it in a very different way. Just how we are destined for greatness, but the most powerful tool we had is designed and defaulted to keep us safe and keep you inside comfort, to keep you from not trying something new, to keep you, you know, and that's obviously from years of evolution to stay safe. Don't run off the cliff or walk into the fire. Get out of freezing cold water quickly. Right. You're going to die. That's you're designed to do that. And then you take that into business. As soon as there's a challenge or a massive target or, something that scares you, humans don't like failure. It's pain. So yes, we've evolved to not throw ourselves into fire or cold water or something stupid like that. But we've also evolved very well to protect ourselves from pain. And when a human fails, we feel an emotional pain, so we don't like it. So even though it's not often a cognitive thought process in the background, we are avoiding trying something new, because you try something new, you're going to get a different result. And you get a different result, it might be failure, and we'd rather not try. So it's all those very simple lessons that I've learned in the cold.
No, that's exactly it. You've just distilled the whole reason to do this, because it drives me crazy to try and figure out what it is that motivates some people and others not. And I think that helps. Yeah. Bulelo, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do, and I can really echo those words. And I'd like to hear from Ryan what he thinks. Is some people hear the word discipline and they hear the end. For me, in the health sector, discipline is freedom.
Right.
I'd love to know what Ryan thinks about discipline and how he explains it to people.
Wow. Yeah. Another interesting question. Discipline is one of the biggest challenges for me, to be honest. You know, like this morning, it's cold outside. I've got a lot to do. Swimming pools aren't open, but I'm still going to be disciplined. I'm going to drive all the way to Bloberg Beach, which is not anywhere close to my house, and get in my Speedo and get in that water. I'm going to swim 3 or 4 kilometers. It's extremely easy not to do that. It's extremely difficult to do that.
Yeah.
And there are sacrifices that I have to make. I have a son who, you know, he's got various Zoom school meetings and things I've got to set up. I've got to put so much in place to make that happen that everything is telling me don't do it just because it's easier not to. But if I don't, that's a slippery slope.
Do you ever get accused by the rest of the family of being a bit selfish? Because this is a hobby that can take up a lot of time. It does require a lot of effort. And apart from your own self-discipline, as Bulelo's already referred to and as you've just explained to us, you know, you've got other people to consider.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I'm a dad to my son, and he is absolutely number one and first in anything. Am I accused by my family of being selfish?
Yeah.
Sometimes I am divorced, so join those dots.
Don't worry, none of us.
But no, I'm not particularly selfish. Discipline and being selfish aren't necessarily the same thing. You just got to find that happy balance, Gareth. But I've been through a stage of my life, you know, when I started to discover these things and take on swimming challenges around the world. You know, all of a sudden you find yourself in this little group of sports extremists and swimming people, and you're invited everywhere, and it's very hard to say no to some really ridiculous invitations, which are putting your life at risk. And
well, you speak about fathers. Did you have anything on for Father's Day yesterday?
No, I didn't actually. Just my son and I are extremely tight, so I was just a good dad to him.
Okay. Because some people, you know, they'd say, oh, well, for Father's Day, do you want him to swim?
To swim, yes, but not do anything close to what I do. That's just stupid.
He must find
his own journey.
It would be hard to make the poor child go through that.
So I find it hilarious that you yourself, Ryan, are quick to call it stupid or ridiculous.
He doesn't
listen.
Mind.
When I think about it, Sia, it's a hard discipline to explain. But swimming is a tough sport. Distance and endurance is very solitary. You're never comfortable, even if the water's warm. So take the element of cold out. When you're swimming, usually in salt water, you're chafing, it's abrasive, you're exhausted.
Oh,
you
chafe.
Can't,
oh.
You can't not gulp down, because it's very rarely that you get a nice flat ocean. It's always choppy or wavy. You're swallowing that salt water, which makes you nauseous. There are horrific things that sting you. Psychologically, you're looking down into this abyss, and there are things that happen and move and swim down there. There are risks that everybody knows about and wants to ask about. Do you see sharks? Then you throw in the element of cold, which is killing you at different paces. It will eventually, there are two outcomes. Either your body's going to warm the ocean up to its core temperature, or the ocean's going to cool you down, which is the more likely scenario, which I know. So you know you've got a limited time, and depending on the challenge you've taken on, you know, some, like, for example, I went to Antarctica and I swam in -1 degree. Okay. You know, that was trying to do a mile swim in -1 in my Speedo. That is a race against death. I know I've got literally minutes. The medical science says that I can't make it. I think I can. So it's a big push, and that's a hectic discipline. Then you take on something like the English Channel, which is a lot warmer than -1 at 16 degrees Celsius. But I was in that water for 13 hours solidly.
Can I ask you something quickly about that? Because temperature is such an important thing to us during winter. You know, we all feel like, oh, it's so cold. And we all talk about, oh, it's so cold. So yeah. How does it feel at those minus temperatures, as opposed to the temperature, which for most of us is freezing enough in the Cape water?
Yeah,
can you describe the difference in how it feels?
Wow, it's really brutal. But there are some trade secrets. You know, when you go down to Camps Bay on a particularly cold day, I don't know if any of you had a swim over there, Camps Bay.
Not me. Unless I had a death wish or I was about to commit suicide.
Look, most people do it once and they're in for about 5 minutes. But obviously that's a training ground for me. But what I want to tell you is when you walk into that water, which is maybe on a very cold day, 8 or 9 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
You feel a brutal pain. It is absolutely excruciating. Your head burns like biting into an ice cream, and there's quite a significant amount of time before your body relaxes and you get into a rhythm, and then you've usually got a bit of margin, and then the cold gets into your core. So that's very, very difficult, and it's a pain and a cold heart to describe. But then you get the super extreme stuff where we get to the 2 degrees, 1 degree, -1 degree temperatures. When I dive into that, which isn't often, by the way, I used to do it a lot more, your body actually doesn't compute it. It is such a shock to the system. So you are more trying to get yourself through the shock and that hyperventilation and the impact. And, you know, in my case, I've got to swim a distance, so I've got to control the adrenaline and the urge to sprint the first couple of meters and then not have any energy to finish it. So the secret I'm trying to tell you is that there's less pain at the extreme cold temperatures than there is at the, let's just call them very cold temperatures.
Who knew?
Is anyone else's chest tight and their brain labored from hearing this?
I think we've spoken to this man enough. He's killing us.
All right, I'm like Ryan. Scared to open my mouth and take in cold air.
Ryan, when you at the sort of sharp end, right? I've done a bit of ultra mountain running,
right,
and I always wonder what makes people stay with it. What is it that makes you not quit? Because, you know, when I've done 100 milers, 250K races, there are those moments when it is the right option to quit. What are you thinking about in those moments? Is it people at home, people you've made promises to? What is it that drives you?
Well, firstly, you guys are calling me in that case, and you've done what? 100 milers?
We're all well aware of how crazy.
And I think it's Mbalelo, it's a combination of exactly what you say. You know, firstly, it's how badly do I want the goal, and all the weight that's hanging on that, and usually there's a lot. I usually set myself up quite nicely. I tell quite a few people that are close to me that I'm going to do it,
you dedicated this swim to someone. What was the guy's name? Theodore?
He's passed away. He was a good friend of mine, and he held the record for Robben Island crossings. He got to number 108. And it was an extremely tough bar that he set, and I finally got there. But if Theo was still around, I'm sure he'd be on 120 by now. Still be chasing his tail.
Wow. Okay, well, Ryan, listen, keep it up. I take huge inspiration from this. I'm sure lots of people do. And we'll speak to you soon, as long as you don't die.
Don't plan to die. Gareth, team, thanks for your interest. Really appreciate it. Thanks for the chat, guys. Great show.
Always good to see you. Thanks, Ryan. Ryan Strumrit, crossing the Robben Island swim every other day. He does this for fun.
They are wild guys. Yeah. Wild guys.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Lots of things to still get to this morning. Plenty of messages coming in, and you can always get hold of us.
Know what I do for fun?
Yeah. What do you do for fun? Yeah.
This is my discipline, having chips before 8 a.m. in the morning.
You're eating chips.
Thanks for the inspiration, Ryan.
Yeah, look at Sia stuffing his face with chips. Okay, Lisa says she did her first Robben Island crossing in December last year in a wetsuit. Was ready to do my second one in April, this time without a wetsuit. Unfortunately, it was cancelled due to lockdown. Was back at Clifton.
Yeah, I think if I was wearing the dry suit, then I might do it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. She's starting the acclimatization process over again. It's really hard. So there we go, Lisa. Good for you. Wow.
Yep.
Impressive.
Well done.
All right. And then, Gareth, I watched your show last night, and I have to say I was very impressed. Your precious show didn't do it for me. It was unnatural, not very IMO. But this new show has edge. Your guests were top-notch, and you were doing much of what you've been doing in this show just better. Well done, man. And your joke writer deserves a raise. There's no joke writer. It's me. I really enjoyed it. Also, very happy that the stylists were allowed to do their thing. One obligatory criticism, you dress so well. Why always the sneakers? P.S. It's a live show. Okay, so much to unpack here, but I'm not going to get into it because it's boring for everybody. But thanks, dude. I appreciate the feedback, first of all. It's color. Okay, so first show, I was nervous as hell. Haven't been on TV for like 4 years in my own show. And there's a lot of improvement to be made. So let's just hold back on the feedback for another 2 weeks, and then we can climb in properly, teeth and claws and everything else. I've just got to – I really have to settle back into learning to look at the right camera at the right time, learning to make it look more natural when I move, because it's very artificial. The whole TV environment's so weird.
Yeah, of course.
You know this, Leanne. You did TV news for a while.
It's really difficult. There's so much to remember while you're doing things that it's almost impossible to look natural.
And as for the sneakers, I mean, that's what I wear. I even to the office, Cian Bulela will tell you, if it makes me look like a slob, I'm sorry. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that's what I wear most of the time.
Yeah, because it's not 1803.
Well, ooh. I don't know. So, you know, some people think that the smart shoes are a better – I'm not – trying to impress anyone with my dress for these things. I don't have a stylist, so it's just me. I go on
you and Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
Or joke writer. You or did that yourself.
Yeah, joke writer. Oh, wow.
Uh-huh. Oh. Take that, Saturday Night Live.
Right, exactly.
Could we apply for an enemy?
An enema?
Sia, what are you, drunk on chips?
I don't want to apply for an enemy or an enema. Never mind. We'll apply for an enemy. I can't say it. I'm quiet. Bye-bye.
Enemy.
It's the Pringles and the teeth. It's going to get you. Going to get you.
Yeah, how can you eat chips first thing in the morning?
It's revolting. Revolting.
I have a whole system here. So I had my hot chocolate earlier on. At least I have Tic Tacs. Then I have my.
You know what? If your metabolism suddenly slows down, which it will do at some point, you are going to become such a porker. You're going to be the fattest man in South Africa.
Within I also have water if that comes.
He'll be like those animals in that series are little balloons with these tiny little legs, and they roll around and they can't hunt.
Basically, you're saying I look like Fat Boston from the Austin Powers.
But if it does happen, it'll be so sudden.
Yeah, it'll be hilarious for everyone except Sia, who will go into complete shock. Like,
yeah,
oh
it's such
God.
A trigger for me.
Overnight, I became fat. What's a trigger for you, Chips?
Just people. I mean, the younger you are, when you eat badly, because people go, when I'm 30, I'll get into it. No, if you don't get into it by 25, 26, you're in big trouble. The weight you are, by the way, just so you know, at 40, there's a good chance that's what you're going to be and expand from there. So if you don't get into good habits by 28, 29,
are you telling me that the best I could be is what I was at 40?
Well, you can only get worse from there. Most people get worse from there. Very few people post 40
Mbulelo, what is it? Is it 25, 26, 27, 28? You literally mentioned all of those ages.
Well, from 25, you should be in the right habits by now.
See, he's about to take another handful of chips into his mouth, but
that's it.
What you're about to say is chocolate. Massively important. So.
You know what I think, Mbulelo? I think I'll give myself a couple more years.
I'm sorry if I've become your emana or enema.
We can't say the word emmy. We can't say enemy. We can't say enema, and we can't say emana.
Yeah, I wasn't sure what I was to see announce.
It's emanating from my emmy or by my enemy.
All right, enough. This is clearly bullshit for this time of the morning. All right, everybody, have a happy day. We will see you tomorrow, bright and early at 6 o'clock. Pumi Mashiko joins us, as always. Have an excellent day. And don't forget, there's a new episode of Blind History, which we are launching this week. I saw the promo for it on Instagram. It's the three great composers. That's Beethoven, Bach, and Mozart. So if you like that, go along to the Blind History page. And don't worry, we are talking about series 4. Can you believe it? Series 4. Yeah, we're talking to Taylor Blinds, and we may be putting that together sooner rather than later. So exciting stuff ahead. Have an excellent day. All right, thanks, Ass. We will see you on Friday.
Toodaloo. See you then.
All right, very nice. Don't go swimming in cold water like Ryan, especially if you're not qualified. Make sure you know what you're doing, all right? Don't just try it without practicing and talking to the experts. Not that I have any intention of doing that myself. Hell to the no.
Mm-mm.
Thanks, everybody. Have a happy day. CliffCentral.com